Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Greg Hutchins, I think.
What are we going to say in the future when you want to make sure that you're introducing yourself as a human, not as a bot standing in for you? I think that's going to be because I see it in articles. It's written by, I saw it in an email today, made me giggle a little bit. It was like, this email was conceived of, crafted, and misspelled by a human. Please excuse any problems.
Sooner than later, you're probably going to have Avatar Greg.
Right. I mean, there's all kinds of pieces to that. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was Kirk and I were talking about suppliers and, you know, kind of can't count on them to do failure analysis. But we touched on a more systemic thing, which we didn't really get into too much. I thought, you know, you kind of look at the bigger picture and the effects of stuff like this. But for decades and decades, many, many different manufacturers or design houses, and I'm thinking of like Apple and Intel and IBM and just anybody that makes stuff to sell, whether it's retail or commercial or business to business, is generally said, oh, I can buy concrete from this group and ship it here cheaper than we can get it locally, or whatever it is, whether it's silicon chips or plastic dolls or whatever. And we're kind of seeing, you know, the pandemic really riled the supply chains. But what I found is that, and it was prompted by a question that Kirk and I talked about in another episode, was, mm-hmm. They had a problem with some device, I think it was a cable, and they wanted to find some expertise to help them troubleshoot this and design better and stuff like that. And I thought, I don't know anybody in the States that's a expert specifically on that. And it's not typically taught because it's not quite an electronic device and it's not quite a mechanical device. And it's, you know, it's like, it's just kind of, oh, you need a cable to connect these two things. And then here's this, somebody that does that. You know, but those engineers and those companies and those manufacturing sites are by and large all overseas. Now, there may well be somebody that makes cables for some application in the States, but not the volume ones, not like fiber optic patch cables or like a Cat 5 cable. Mm-hmm. Which you can cut the length and add your own connectors to it. But the people making those cables overseas can make them very inexpensively, even with shipping, and now sometimes even with tariffs. And what this company ran into is that they had a problem and they were troubleshooting it, but they needed some more insight, somebody that knew this connector and cable and systems they're usually connected to, with some expertise, some depth of knowledge that helped them really understand what's going on. And they just couldn't find anybody. And they even went back to the vendors, and the vendors just said, oh, it's not our fault, man. You did something bad to your when you installed it, or it was damaged, but yeah, that happens. Or it was pretty superficial feedback from the vendors. And I said, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. For the last 30, 40 years, we've been pushing reduction in price at the expense of customer service and failure analysis and technical expertise. And they're like, that's a problem. You can have great expertise on the greatest WYSIWYG, you know, chips from NVIDIA, but you're not, if you can't connect it to a cable through a system that actually works, then you don't have a product. So it's the expertise in even the most simple of things matters. But we've kind of inadvertently by design as an adverse byproduct of driving the costs down, we've gotten rid of a lot of expertise on what would typically be considered commodities. Sometimes you really need that expertise.
Oh boy. So where do we want to start?
Well, what is, you know, is it's not a problem until it's a problem, is that worth doing preventative stuff on? Or, I mean, how does a business protect itself from going, oh, we've got this commodity thing and now we can't find anybody to help us actually make it work?
Well, let's put things in perspective. First of all, a NVIDIA cable for GPUs will probably run you $1,200 to maybe $10,000. Mm-hmm. So we call those basically design cables or system cables. Then there's what we would call commodity cables, generic HDMI, you know, just generic cables.
Yep. And they're not all generic. You can get really high quality, you know, very low loss, high signal integrity HDMI cables, and they cost you $20, where you could buy just one because you don't care, you just need them connected, and then it costs you $10. You know, and there are gradations of them, at least by price point. But they're not $10,000.
Yeah. And basically, when you're looking at a GPU cable, you're looking at things like, you know, how much time does it take and bandwidth does it take to do IO transfers and, you know, very technical things where you're looking at nanosecond timeframes. So basically, from a buyer's point of view, you're going to be looking at what type of cable are you buying? Mm-hmm. How much are you paying for it? And what's the risk, or, you know, what's the reliability of the cable, you know, that you want from, you know, that particular supplier?
Yeah. And there's two kinds of risks. One is just when I first attach it, you've seen assembly lines where they're kicking out default, you know, bent leads on a component, or it's a bad cable, you just swap it out and throw it away. Mm-hmm. Because they're cheap enough that you don't care about it, and it's not happening enough that it matters, that it's worth solving. But then there's the, what if it fails at the customer site and they lose the functionality of the device that has this one commodity cable buried in it?
Well, that becomes a risk issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's when you do your FEMAs or product FEMAs. Basically, if I were buying a cable, I would tell my buyer, you know, again, I'm the boss internally. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you're not buying a cable. You know, it's like, you know, buy the component. You know, a cable is a component. Yeah. At that point, you should be buying a subassembly or an assembly and put the problem on the supplier, you know, not on yourself. Because, again, with a lot of these systems, you know, you might have 10, 20, 30 different components in a system. And if you're going to start buying each component and assembling it, you know, in a domestic U.S. plant, that's a little redundant. But
it starts adding up, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very expensive. So you basically, especially if it's going to be a commodity cable, let the supplier, second, third tier, take care of that problem. That's not your problem.
Well, yeah, I get that. I've run into problems where a company says, oh, we want to outsource the design and the manufacturing. I think it's called ODM, Outsource Design and Manufacturing. I think that's what it stands for. Exactly. And they say, oh, they'll take care of it. And then they make the fatal error of saying, well, then we'll also pay them to do the repairs.
It's like, well, then you have to ship it back to them. You know,
and they take care of the reverse logistics and everything else, but they make more money on the repairs and have little to no incentive to actually improve the design or fix anything. I've run into that a number of times. But what I run into, though, is what, and this is what this company was asking me about, is, do you know anybody that can help us really understand this problem? Is it the cable? Is it the interconnect? Is it the manufacturing? Is it the transceiver? Is it this? Is that whatever? And I was like, you got a commodity cable here. And the supplier of those cables is not going to provide you with expertise knowledge like the bleeding edge stuff for the very high speed systems being created by, say, NVIDIA and others. And what I think is, it maybe it's not just supply chain, but I suspect it is that the
Mm-hmm.
It's way too easy just to throw away a cable and put a new one in there and be up and running again. It's in this particular case, they're using these commodity cables, but they're using a lot of them in a system that when it goes down, it causes a lot of financial pain to the person that bought it. And so it's like, it has a high consequence when it fails, even if it's for a $2 cable. And so going back to their vendors, the vendor is going to say in so many words, you only paid $2 for it. What's your problem? What true. Do you expect? You know?
Yeah. And basically the vendor, especially for a cheap cable, is going to say, this is disposable. And if this is really your problem, I can basically provide you with two cables just in case the first one fails, you know?
And that's about the best we can do. Or if they're, you know, if they have a decent product line or cousins running a better cable shop, say, well, buy that one over there. It's probably better suited to your application. The company bought it because they didn't have cable expertise. They needed to connect this box to that box with a whole bunch of cables. And so that's what they did. And there might be other design solutions. I don't know the product itself enough details of why they did what they did. But the one other aspect of this is not just, you know, we want low price. So like it's replaceable, replace it. Don't bother us with your problem kind of thing.
That's right.
You know, for the high-end ones, we really do need to get the bleeding edge or the, you know, very high performance, this, that, or the other thing. Either you get the expertise or you buy the company that has the expertise or you work very closely with them to solve the problem. That works. It's expensive up front. And I think that dissuades a lot of procurement folks and design teams from doing it. Whereas another issue I find, and I ran into this when I worked at HP, is that it was one of the last internal factories and they had a prototype line and they had a small capacity to do production units.
Yeah,
for circuit boards. And the director of the group that was basically the interface to the contract manufacturers in the area, and this was in Singapore, so it was Malaysia and Indonesia and places like that, mm-hmm. that they were working with. And he was lamenting that as they shut down and his factory and Protoline were likely going to be shut down within the year. He says, the real challenge here is I can't hire people with expertise in circuit board manufacturing without a way to keep them current or sharp or up to speed of what is the current state of art in contract manufacturing, in circuit board manufacturing. And he says, people with that skill or that desire for their career we'll go work for a contract manufacturer because then they can go play on the equipment. If they have the stuff, they can go play with it. If you want to just do paperwork and walk through factories and, you know, observe what they're doing, that's not a great career path for somebody that really wants to build circuit boards. And I said, yeah, you're right. And so he already was experiencing trouble finding expertise and keeping them because they were basically paper pushers most of the time. And he said that, and now my people are going through factories that are state of the art and they don't know what the equipment is or where the trouble spots could be or all kinds of issues. He said what I equate this to is like the cable you mentioned that might be $1,000 or $10,000 and very specific for the new very high speed stuff or high signal integrity requirements or whatever. That's the sexy stuff. That's where the engineers are going to go. That's where they're going to go work on. That's the fun stuff. You know, engineering a standard based connector like an HDMI. Okay, now what do? It's running. How do I make it cheaper? Okay, I did that. Now what do?
Well, you know, that's right. People go where the money is. And
it's money and it's interesting work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know a packaging engineer in Silicon who makes $300,000 a year, And he had various options, you know, and he basically took the route to work with Intel and a couple other folks who paid good money. Now he's thinking, who else can I work for? But anyway, if you're a packaging engineer or a harness slash, cable engineer, you're going to go where the best money is. And unfortunately, in the U.S., a lot of the shops, a lot of the companies outsourced everything to China, and now they're probably Vietnam.
Vietnam and Malaysia and North Africa, you know, absolutely. It's pretty much wherever the labor rates were really low and supply chains for raw materials was a bit easier. It all goes back to what I started with. Is we're really good at asking for the lowest price without really thinking through the consequences of the lost expertise.
Well, right now with the high tariffs and the domestic manufacturing push, that question that you posed, that's a really big public policy question. How are you going to bring these manufacturers, these countries that have 125% tariffs, you bring the manufacturing back, but who's going to do the work? Do we have the expertise?
Yeah, we don't. Not a lot of them. years and years ago, I ran into, when I was working at HP, it was kind of a euphemism we all use, is that the trouble spots for most of our electronics boxes were power supplies, connectors, and capacitors. And all of them were considered commodities.
Commodity items, exactly. Yeah. High volume, low margin.
Yep. And it just... And some companies were better than others at working with you to troubleshoot stuff and others. So there are good suppliers, vendors out there that do honestly give it the good college try, I would say, to do it. But I do remember one issue where the division that was having the problem with this capacitor was told by their legal team, don't call the supplier. And so somebody knew me at corporate says, here's the issue, but you can't tell them what division it is or what the details of our particular problem is. But could you call the supplier and ask a few questions on this line and this idea? And I said, sure. And I said, hi, this is Fred from corporate. And I got put in right straight to their chief engineer, you know, and I had a great discussion. I did my homework prior. So I had a great discussion and was able to help this individual division get the bits of information they really needed to solve the problem and how to deal with it. But sometimes being able to say, hi, it's Fred from corporate, carried some weight. But the networking and who you know and all that kind of stuff helps to, you know, find out who the expert is and track them down. And in this particular case, the only thing I could offer this company was, well, I'm not really that expert, so let me see if anybody in my network is. And I sent a message out through LinkedIn looking for, usually I get, you know, when I send out like a job opening, I'll get a dozen shares and a bunch of comments and stuff like that. I got one comment, one share. Oh,
no kidding.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, they just aren't, they're not experts out there in, you know. Right now, I don't know who I'd point to be the capacitor, you know, ceramic capacitor expert. I'm sure there's somebody that works in that field because they fail often enough that I think you can make a living just on that. But the companies that make these things are moving to lower cost areas and shedding engineers and talent and scientists.
And basically starting all over again in terms of, you know, building the manufacturing process. So that begs the question, what happens if you've had a lean organization, you've single sourced your cables or harnesses, and all of a sudden, you know, the mean time to failure, which I know you hate.
Yeah. Probability of failure. The probability of failure goes
Probability up. Of failure increases. What do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a tough one. And it's what I find is that the junior engineers or right out of college folks and stuff, they may get assigned, you know, let's sort out cable routing or work with procurement team to source this commodity of some sort. Or they do a bunch of failure analysis type stuff, which is a great way, in my opinion, to learn engineering. But the whiz bang stuff, the heart of the essence of your whatever product solution you're providing, that's all the, you know, high end talent and high paid talent and senior folks that are working on the exciting part. What I find, though, is many organizations forget that it could be a single fraction of a cent capacitor that, if it's not designed well or manufactured well, could take down your system. And like, think of it as in a clean room. If a capacitor smokes or a resistor, you know, doesn't even catch on fire, just smokes, that's a huge multi-million dollar problem for a clean room making silicon.
That's true.
You know, it's a quarter of a cent component that's kind of sprinkled over circuit boards like salt and pepper shakers, you know. But you can't take for granted the commodity stuff, I think. And then we've done that long enough as a overall supply chain with capital S and C that we've stripped out much of the expertise that when we need it, it's no longer there, or it's very hard to find.
Or you pay a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, you pay me enough money, I'll come up to speed and learn everything I can about it, but it might take me 6 months and then your problem will be even bigger. Then you could pay me more, I guess.
Yeah. You know, 10, 20 years ago, there were harness and cable engineers. That's all they did, you know, 24/7, essentially.
Yeah.
Problem is they've disappeared or they're offshore.
Yeah.
And they don't speak English, you know.
Well, yeah, or they speak English better than we do.
Well, yes, that's another problem.
Well, part of it, what I've run into is that it's also that their motivations and drive is, you know, efficiency and productivity and get the next unit out the door. It's not necessarily solving, you know, this is not the best option for you for this bundle, for this cable. You need this kind of product instead, or for your application. I think the stepping out to a second or third tier and have them solve that problem for you is they don't know the context. They don't know enough about how it's used, where it's used, how often it's used, you know, all those kinds of things that, yeah, routing cables is easy. Well, it's not. I actually tried doing that once for a product. Get a great big pegboard, you know, measure everything out. And yeah, it's a puzzle. Yet if you focus on the efficiency of solving that problem and routing the cables, you, I'm using this euphemistically because I don't know these vendors or cable makers at all, but it would be very easy to get rid of the team that says, are you using the right types of cables, or the right types of information? Are you bundling them so that they avoid signal integrity issues, stuff like that? That's a different level of engineering than just creating a routing and cable bundle.
That's true. And that's basically more systems engineering. You know, you're looking at the, instead of looking at the component, the knot hole in the tree, you're looking at the tree.
Right. And but we're going to only pay you to look at the, you know, just do the bundle. Don't ask questions we're not ready to answer.
That's right.
Should answer, kind of thing. But it's, I don't know what the solution is. I have no idea. And I'm hoping some of our listeners will, you know, run into this or thought through this, figured out something on it. I don't know what we talked about.
I'd like to hear their thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're listening to this and in, you know, maybe I'm hallucinating, but I've been around for 30 years and seeing this happen in one type of industry after another. But, you know, how is it impacting you and your organization and your product's reliability or systems availability? And let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and you can find a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Greg and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our about pages. And, yeah, we'll try to keep Greg's avatar from answering your questions. We'll see. No guarantees on that.
That's good. Okay, all right. Brad.
Talk to you later.
Goodbye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.